last night. A vision. I saw a world full of people. Everybody was dancing and screaming loud. They were just there to listen to the music.
It was deep. It was underground.
Let's turn the world into a dance floor.
Are you guys ready for a state of trance? Put your hands in the air. Come on.
This is a State of Trance podcast.
Yes, and welcome once again to a new podcast. My name is Ruben Ronde, and this week I'm joined by one of the biggest talents right now in the trance scene, Paul Denton. How are you doing, man?
Oh, good, man.
So you flew all the way in from Dublin to be with us today. You played a fantastic set in the studio, of course.
Thank you.
Maybe a brief introduction about yourself.
Yeah, well, I'm a producer, DJ, trance DJ from Dublin, Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
Been DJing for about last 20 years or so.
Okay.
Producing the last 15 years or so. Mainly produce tech trance or uplifting trance, but everything. I like producing everything instead of sticking to one style.
And your first release, correct me if I'm wrong, has been Cabin Pressure.
That was a long time ago.
that's exactly 10 years ago, right?
That was an awful track.
No, come on, man. I think almost every producer will say that about their very first track, but in hindsight,
if it's a first track, you're able.
Yeah, but also. The first track is always the first one that you show out to the rest of the world. So it's a very important one.
Yeah.
And you have the feeling as a producer like, wow, I signed my first track.
Oh, yeah.
I made it.
It's on your life away.
Now I'm playing, Tomorrowland to main stage because I have one release. That's how it works, right?
That's the dream, yeah.
All right. So I have some fan questions and some other questions as well.
Okay.
Starting off with a fan question by fan _Armin_France. Hello, Paul. Hugs from France. I wanted to know, how did you start being a DJ? Is it a childhood passion?
Yes, well, my older brother, he was just, he was collecting
vinyl. Sitting here in the studio.
Sitting here, yeah, that's him.
Yeah.
He was collecting vinyl back in about the early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
All school trance records, yeah. So I always had an interest in it from when I was about 7 or 8 years of age. And I just grew from there then. Used to go out to the nightclubs when I was 17.
Yeah.
Fake ID.
So you were stealing your brother's records and started DJing?
I still have all the vinyl.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I have a similar story. I have the same thing. I started playing records because my brother was DJing.
Yeah.
I think he stopped after maybe 1.5 years and he sold me all his vinyls and his turntables and stuff like that. Yeah. And I picked it up.
Yeah.
So
a lot of people are like that. In case
does your brother still have all these vinyls, or did he give them to you?
No, he gave them to me. Yeah.
That's a nice brother. Did you give something in return or no? We should talk about this, I think. No? So for the brother, we can't hear him on the microphone right now, but what made you start DJing then? Interesting in music. Out of that period, what has been the pinnacle track for you to start playing, to start DJing? Like you were, okay, this is the track, this is why I want to DJ.
Push Universe Nation.
Yeah?
Yeah, my favorite. Yeah. Love it.
That's a good one.
Ah, yeah.
So that's one of the questions I'll have later for you as well about the favorite tracks and why, of course. But first, I want to know from you, Walker 48233 has a question. What made you start becoming a producer? Because you told us that you were DJing for 20 years already.
Yeah, well, I used to DJ at home, you know, and then small club show.
And then it took about 10 years.
Yeah, well, like,
before you started.
I didn't have the computer, the technology at home. It's only when I started working and I had the money then to buy the my first Mac, and then just start learning production myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, around 2007.
Because when you look back in that period, it was a lot harder to make music than it is right now.
Yeah, there was no tutorials and nothing. Yeah.
No, because right now, if you want to know what a certain lead sound is, then you just go on YouTube, lead sound, Paul Denton. And someone made it, you know, it's on YouTube.
Yeah, course,
you can just
when I bought Cubase, like, I sat there looking for it for the first month. I hadn't a clue what to do. Even to import an audio file, you know.
So you work with Cubase?
Cubase, yes.
Okay, so how did you decide which DAW you went to go for?
I started on Reason. And then just couldn't get anywhere with Reason, so I just got Cubase and just learned from that.
Was Cubase back in 2007 and you didn't know how it worked? There was no tutorials?
Just,
how did you figure out how it
just
works?
I've done an online course, actually, yeah. John O'Callaghan done one of the guests in the day for it.
Okay.
He came in and he showed a few things. Like,
how did that work?
He just came in and he was showing the class. It was a classroom of people.
Like a proper classroom?
Yeah, like 8 or 9 people, yeah.
And John was your teacher?
He wasn't. He just came in for a guest show to do, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. What did he, okay, what
he
is
just
the,
showing basic import audio for Ireland.
So what was the first thing that he told you that you were like, wow?
Yeah, they import the audio into the Cubase.
That's it?
Yeah.
Did you ever tell John about that later?
I said it to him, yeah.
What did he say?
Yeah, he just laughed.
And is there any other producers in that class that are still making music as
no,
well?
No, I think they were all house and kind of the, it was all kind of rock music, everything, you know. It wasn't just dance music.
Wow, is that school still here?
It's still open, yeah. It's all in Dublin, Temple Bar in Dublin.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Temple Bar Music Centre.
And then the first steps in production, what was the first thing? Well, maybe it was Cabin Pressure, but what was the first track that you were like, okay, this is something that I can show to people, or not to your friends, because out of own experience, I know that your friends lie to you because you show them music and they're like, wow, this is banging. And now you hear it a couple of years later, you're like, no.
They don't even listen to me.
You were lying to me. Okay, John O'Callaghan, you mentioned him already. Yeah. Maybe that's one of the artists that inspired you.
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
Abdallah Jabari wants to know, who's the artist that inspired you the most?
Paul van Dyk, probably.
Yeah?
Yeah, he was my hero when I was first started listening to him.
And why?
I just loved the sound. I loved that old Vanda sound back in 2000.
Yeah?
2004.
What is the... What is the
as well. Ever.
What is the most memorable thing that you know about Paul van Dyk that you were like, okay, this is why I love that sound so
the
much?
Politics of Dancing, the 4CD, I love that one.
There's so many people that have that. Yeah. For me, it was more, for example, Tiësto Magic 6.
Yeah, I love Tiësto.
And then a lot of people have Politics of Dancing. It sparked just a whole generation of producers.
Yeah, same with the Paul Oakenfold Cream Resident. Mm-hmm. I love that as well. I think played that out. Completely burnt it. I burnt the CD out. I played it that much.
And if you go back to the time that you started DJing, producing, you also told me that you were doing a lot of clubbing back in the days.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What was the very first trance gig that you were like, okay, I want to be on that stage. I want to be
I went to see Scott Project in the Temple Theatre back 2001.
Yeah?
Yeah. And also it was a Gay Crasher gig with Tiësto in the Point in Dublin. And that was it then. Yeah, I was hooked.
Is that also, now it makes a lot of sense. Scott Project and then, yeah, because when I listen to your music, I really feel that you have two sides.
Yeah.
On one side, you have beautiful, uplifting, more like uplifting stuff.
Yeah.
The other side, you have these banging tech stuff, like Stomp, for example.
Yeah, I love making the tech stuff,
You go in the studio, how do you decide which way you're going that day?
Depends what you're going to have humor, I mean. So if I'm in a good humor, I'll make uplifting. If in a bad humor, I'm going to make tech drums.
Really?
Yeah.
So when you have a bad day, you start making these gnarly beats?
Yeah.
Okay, interesting. Because you played two banging tracks in the studio that were really techy and really hard.
Yeah.
Is that because you had bad days?
Yeah, mostly, yeah. Just you come in, have a bad day, and you start making some evil beats, kind of, you know? Yeah.
That's a good therapy, to be honest.
Yeah, it is, yeah. It could cheer you up at the end of the day, then, you know?
So, to be really honest... If for example, if you have a full year where you're only releasing uplifting stuff, that means that you had a good year for yourself.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
But on the other side, your banging tracks are really, really awesome as well.
Yeah, thank you.
But how are you going to do that if you don't have bad days anymore?
I don't know, Just, you have to kind of, I always have bad days, you know? You can never have just all good days.
Talking about some heroes, you actually did something that's really on my bucket list as well. You made a track together with Marco V.
Oh, yeah.
Network.
That was brilliant, yeah.
How did that come about?
I just messaged Marco, sent him a couple of my new tracks.
Mm-hmm.
Asked him, did he like them? He really liked them. So he asked me would I be interested in a collab with him because he was playing all my stuff at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's where that came about. So we just made some boots and sent some stems back and forward. And that's how that started.
That's interesting. So how did you reach out to him?
I just messaged him on email.
Really?
Yeah, and he got back to me like straight away. It was like, whoa, Marco V has messaged me back.
That's a bit of a shot in the dark, isn't it?
Yeah, it was. I just messaged him and said, here, this, because I knew he was playing one of my tracks.
Uh-huh.
And I sent him some.
Oh, so he knew your name already, luckily.
He must have,
Yeah. That's awesome, man. And that must have been one of your bucket lists as well.
Oh, 100%, yeah.
If you're into tech trends so much,
then... Yeah, I'm a massive fan of Marco. Yeah, his stuff is amazing, you know.
Just think about Recovered and Tolerance. Oh, man. So good. Another question from one of the fans. Klaus Kaus wants to know advice for producers trying to stand out and break into the trend scene.
Yeah, we just think do your own thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and obviously a lot of people tell you what to do and But I think the main thing is do your own thing and don't let someone outside kind of dictate what you want to make.
And what is your thing?
I just like everything.
Yeah, you're doing your own thing.
I do everything, you know. I don't like sticking to one one style. Like I've been making techno in the studio as well, just to make it, you know, just because I do love techno as well, but it's just to make something different. Mm-hmm. I hate sticking to the same sound and the same sounds, you know, just overusing them. Mm-hmm. I'd rather just make something new every time.
So the number one advice that you have for producers is to
be unique.
Just be unique. Which is really hard because
it is very hard.
In all honesty, there's a lot of saturation going on.
There has to be in the transient, there is, but it's hard to stand out. But again, you just have to stay with it, you know.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not producing nearly 15 years. Like, it didn't just happen overnight. You just have to stick with it, and that's the main as well.
That's something that a lot of people don't see.
No, they don't. People think after 6 months you'll be able to make a track, and as you said, you'll be playing in Tomorrowland. But no, it takes a lot of time.
Do you think that looking at the general age of a trance producer right now, before it's mastered that you can create a track like that, it often takes a lot of years. Do you think trance music is the most difficult music to create?
You have the most
flying hours just to create something like that?
It is, but all the melodies and all, especially in uplifting, I find uplifting a lot harder to make than the tech trance.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Because there's less sounds.
Yeah, well, I'm not classically trained in piano or anything, so no. I just write my melodies myself, and also it's like kind of Homer Simpson playing the keyboard.
Yeah. I do that but, too, so that's fine.
But there is, again, but the techno is very hard to make as well because it's so bare, so little channels. Every sound has to be, mm-hmm. same with house, every sound has to be perfect, you know, where trance kind of has a lot of layers and, you know, find that, especially the melodies, you know, you could have like five or six layers on the leads.
I'm trying to not
use as much anymore, but still always end up throwing so lots of layers on, but yeah, trance is very hard to make. But
and then for example, when I listen to your remix that you made for Alan Phelan, Scott Bond and Charlie Walker, then you combine the two things.
That's very hard to do.
How long did it take you to create that one?
About 2 weeks.
2 weeks?
Yeah.
I wish I was that fast.
I had the idea. It's just, I made the remix about 2 years ago, mm-hmm. but we never released it because me and Fatty didn't feel it was strong enough.
Mm-hmm.
So I went over it again for the compilation. I said, I'll give it another go. I sent it to Fatty and he loved it.
And that's one of the hardest things that you can do. Go back to a project.
Oh, yeah.
Because in your head, you already finished it, basically.
Yeah, I was finished it, but I never really liked it, you know. Never liked the original version, so I always had it in my head that I wanted to go back because the original is such an amazing song.
Sorry. I did a test. I don't have corona, don't worry. Sorry. We might have to cut this out a little bit. Max Milikov wants to know, how do you write these amazing melodies?
Yeah, again, it's just I can't write melodies with my hands off, obviously. Again, it's just using chord track on Cubase,
mm-hmm.
Finding some unique chord progressions and then just work around the melody.
So there's a function in Cubase that has the chords in there?
It's the chords in, yeah. No, I can play the chords, but again, you can mess around and find what works.
Well, chords are chords. There's only a limited amount of chords in the room.
Chords can never change, really.
And then you have the chords and then you start going around.
I just mess around with the melody. I mess around on the keyboard with the melody until I find something that sticks.
But you're not classically trained or musically trained?
No. Just
go by your ears?
YouTube, yeah. Watching YouTube videos. And
really?
Yeah, I have to play piano on YouTube. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. So, do you have any other, maybe some tips for me as well? Because I love watching tutorials on YouTube. Do you have any tips of certain producers that you watch a lot?
The Sonic Academy is really good.
Yeah.
That's really good. I've had a subscription. I don't have any more, but I did when I was learning. I had a subscription for that and it's a lot, mm-hmm. lots of stuff learning on that.
They have tutorials all the time.
Yeah, lots of good ones as well.
For
every genre as well. It's not just trance.
I think Protoculture does a lot of their...
Yeah, Protoculture does that, yeah.
And they have an amazing synth. That's really my number one synth right now, the Anna.
Yeah.
Unbelievable, amazing, man. Yeah. When I started using that...
Yeah, it's really good, yeah.
Such a good. If you're watching this and you're you haven't been using Anna by Sonic Academy, try it out.
Get on it.
It's amazing. Ala Salant wants to know, what is your favorite trance album ever created?
This album.
Yeah.
Politics of Dancing.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Yeah.
You mentioned it before, but what track on that album has been the one that you're like, wow?
Second Throne Empire. Paul Van Dyk, the T-Bod mix of it.
Yeah.
It was amazing, yeah. When I first heard that, it just blew my mind. Just an amazing track.
Have you ever considered remaking something like that for your sets, or you don't dare to?
I can't touch that.
Yeah, I would love to hear that, to be honest. Why not?
Maybe.
Next question. Elena69Luca wants to know, can you tell me more about your track Stomp? How was it created?
I was listening to a lot of old stuff on my label Reset.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Abel Ramos and all. And I love that kind of the noise of the square lead that comes in after the breakdown and Stomp.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to recreate something like that. That all kind of 2005 tech trance sound.
Yeah,
so
the Mark of V sound.
That's it, yeah. Really drive, and there's not really a bass line in it. It's actually a kick drum I use for the bass line.
Big kick.
Yeah, but it's a kick, and then I have it for the bass line. I have a kick that's like on triplets.
Okay.
So it's just filtered all the way down. And
that's the rumble.
That groove, yeah. That kind of techno groove, yeah.
And you did pretty much the same also for the Alan Feely remix as well.
Yeah, but yeah, similar kick and big.
Is that one of the things that you, because you said that you were working on it 2 years ago, but it didn't work then, and then you refreshed it into that sound, or?
Yeah, it was completely different. It was more trancey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it had a big tech trance drop, but it wasn't kind of that techno fuse sound and that big hard kick, the hard soul kick.
So all you needed was a bad day?
Exactly. Yeah. Couple of bad weeks.
Interesting. Well, I've been listening, like I mentioned already, like to Brian Carney's podcast.
Yeah.
And of course, you guys in Ireland have had a rough patch.
Yeah, it was pretty bad, yeah.
But you've played some shows in the meantime again.
Yes, well, it's opening back up. I played Belfast last week. Mm-hmm. I've also done Luminosity on the beach in August.
Mm-hmm.
Planet Love in Belfast too for Subculture.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple, Anomaly gig in over in the UK.
Mm-hmm. The Fabric one?
Yeah, the Fabric one is next week, yeah. That should be good. That's sold out, so that should be good.
And you already mentioned that you played Luminosity, and I think Luminosity is a very special place for you because you wrote a track in 2019 called Back to Blumenau.
I did, yes.
That was for Luminosity?
That was after my first year playing Luminosity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wrote that for it. I said, it was obviously it's in Blumenthal, and I'd just come back from Luminosity and I got back in the studio and I just started writing that. As a tribute to the Luminosity.
That's awesome. So out of all the festivals in the world, that must be one of your favorites.
It's definitely one of your favorites. Yeah, the crowd is a pure trans crowd. You know, everyone that goes there is a trans fan. It's not just people that show up at the gigs because it's a gig, you know. Everyone is. They know their music. They know their trance. It's always an amazing crowd. It's from everywhere in the world.
Yeah, that's what I'm about to say. Yeah. I think there's the most diverse crowd
they'd be from everywhere. You know, you wouldn't think like South Korean flags and Brazilian flags and from everywhere. Like, you wouldn't think that we come all the way from Holland just for a gig. Like,
and you played several years.
I've played the last four.
Last four.
Yeah.
How was this one different? Because obviously we came out of lockdowns and stuff like that. How was this one different from the ones in the past?
It was a bit surreal to be back at it. You know,
mm-hmm.
It was my second gig back. After 2 years, so it was surreal to play at again. And Bob obviously picked me to play to close on the Saturday. So
amazing!
I come on after Richard Durant, and it was really heavy. The rain was really heavy, you know. So it was surreal to play, and the decks were getting really wet and all. I was playing.
how was it to be back on the road again? Because I think you probably played a lot of tracks that you created in lockdown.
Yeah, like I've created about 15 or 20 tracks in 18 months, and like I didn't get to play half of them. So like I could play for 3 or 4 hours there with just my own tracks, you know.
All new stuff.
But mostly new stuff from last February onwards, you know. I think I released 10 tracks last year and didn't get to play one of them out.
That's one of the things that I've had a lot of people here in the studio the last couple of months throughout the whole lockdown. And what I noticed is a lot of people had a rough time creating music right now because they didn't have any impulses coming in.
Yeah.
But it seems for you it's quite the opposite.
Yeah, I just kind of shut everything out.
Mm-hmm.
I turned social media off, didn't watch the news, and just focused on making music.
Mm-hmm.
It's tired watching all the news and not being able to walk and not knowing when you're going back to work. So just locked myself in the studio, locked myself away from everything and just worked on music.
That's the best thing to do, I guess.
It kind of got me through it.
Did you just shut off the world basically and just focus on music?
Yeah, music and my family, yeah. So
that
was it, you know.
And how do you divide your family time and working time?
Now I just do, I've recently moved to studio, so I moved to a new studio, so now it's just 9 to 5, Monday to Friday. Go home then, shut everything off and spend some time with the kids and your girlfriend.
That's perfect.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
It sounds amazing, to be honest. Another question, Aiden C99 wants to know, will you be dropping your massive collab with Chris Schweitzer at any festival's concert soon? I bet in my life it will be absolutely wicked when it blasts out of the speakers. That was one of the tracks that you created during lockdown.
Yeah.
And then you played it for the first time out.
Yes, I played it at every gig I've played so far, yeah.
How did it feel like to play these tracks that you created in lockdown?
Yeah, it's good. It's like, again, it's just surreal to get to play them. It's just waiting so long to play them that I didn't get the opportunity. And then when you do play them, like, I didn't even test it, you know, because usually you test your tracks.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
I didn't get the chance to test them even, you know, so it was good to see them actually on the dance floor and the crowd reaction. Really good to get them to play them. Like, you know, I think I played an Anomaly and I played 20 of my own tracks or something. It was mad.
This, for me, that was one of the hardest things, because you start releasing music. Because at first I was just keeping my music back. I'm not releasing anything because I was hoping that clubs would open again and then I can drop these tracks and then it's going to be fine. But at a certain point you have to be like, okay, now I have to release music, but you haven't tested that out in the clubs.
Yeah, I didn't stop. I just kept releasing.
Yeah.
I can never sit on a track for too long, you know. I have to have it done. I have to have a sign. I have to just sign off on it.
Yeah.
Move on.
That's a different kind of approach, I guess. Yeah, everybody has a different approach,
Of course.
There's no right or wrong, to be honest, in that. Another question, because this is something that you mentioned off air, that you were working on new stuff with David Forbes.
Yes.
Can you tell a little bit about that already?
Yeah, well, we've already done three collabs already. Myself and Dave, we got really good friends. We got on really well. So we were only talking there last week. So we've almost finished. Dave sent me over some stuff. So I'll just have to finish it off and send it back to him. That'll be done. I've also finished one with Craig Connolly.
Oh, nice. Okay.
It's an uplifter. And Kieran McCauley as well.
So there's a lot of stuff coming up.
I think next April I've releases every few weeks.
And then the big question, of course, if you start releasing so much music, are you going to bundle it into an album or something like that?
I probably could have done an album with the amount of tracks I put on the new compilation.
You can, yeah.
Yeah, it's 7 new tracks, but maybe in 2022 I'll look at doing an album.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to have like 3 or 4 vocal tracks in there. Like, so I've been working on a couple that I'm holding back.
Yeah, but that was one of the questions that I've written down as well, because you've been working on so much music, but all of them are instrumental, basically. You did a track with Deirdre, of course, and Audrey Geller. But for the rest, everything is instrumental, I think.
Yeah, well, I wanted to. I was working on a couple, but I didn't want to release them.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, until the gigs were back. So, because I think they're pretty good. Pretty good.
You were keeping back tracks.
Yeah, well, I've lots of tracks there that I keep back here, but some of them aren't finished. And I don't really like playing them in my live shows or anything, because then they'll be ripped. And they'll be on the internet and all. So I'd rather keep them back.
Oh, really? So you don't play them in gigs either?
I haven't played them yet, no.
Are you scared to play them? Because
I don't. I like to record my sets and post them online.
Ah, okay.
So I don't like putting them, because I have to cut the track out of the set, and I couldn't ruin the set then if you're cutting.
How hard is it to not play those tracks?
No, yeah, well, they're not 100% finished, so they're still in trial.
They will be
released next summer, I would think.
That's my problem right now. That, like, for example, I played the State of Trance set with the ADE, and before, and I'm like, I shouldn't play this. I shouldn't play this because it's going to be recorded. It's going to be on the internet.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, I want to share this stuff.
Yeah. Well, it has to be a proper, the right gig for the track as well, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they weren't near finished for the play at Luminosity or Planet Love. So I didn't play them there. But I've been working on them for the last few weeks. So they're getting there.
That's super hard. Respect that you're not playing them, to be honest. I wouldn't be able to do that. You already mentioned it also. In December, you're going to release a compilation for the Future Channel Egypt.
Yeah.
And you created the anthem for 700. Yep. How did the connection come about with Fadi and with Pawns too?
I've just been releasing tracks since 2016 with FSOA, and I get on really well with Fadi, you know. So I've just been sending lots of tracks. Like, he always plays my stuff, so we've just gone back and forward, and then he just asked me to do the anthem. One day, and then we've done the anthem, and then they asked me to do the compilation. So I've made lots of exclusives. It was actually supposed to be released earlier, but there's too much exclusives on it. So you had to wait till we released some of the exclusives and then we released the compilation.
And you already mentioned it in the episode, but I wanted to know this again. Like, How did it come about that you created an anthem for such a big moment as the Future Sound of Egypt 700?
Yeah, it was hard. You know, I didn't know what way to do it.
How do you deal with the pressure to create an anthem?
I didn't really. It took me about 4 weeks to get anything down. I was just stuck on like a bombard loop. It was hard. I didn't know what way to go with the track.
Yeah.
I actually wrote two different tracks because I couldn't decide on which one. And then myself and the Faddy, sent it to them to Faddy, and we both decided on the one that was released.
Okay.
The Rise Up one, yeah.
And which one? And the other track, you also put it on the compilation? Gone. It's gone?
Yeah. Wow. Just scrapped that one, yeah.
Just like that.
Yeah.
So, but you created it as an anthem in mind, so it has to be a proper track.
I'll go back to it maybe eventually. But it didn't suit. You can't have kind of two. For the compilation, I didn't want to have two kind of anthem sounding tracks on one CD.
So it might be an anthem for Future Sound of Egypt 800.
Could be, yeah. You have to ask Fadi.
That's a good question we need to ask Fadi then, of course. So you work with Deirdre and Audrey. Can you already spill a little bit like who you're working with right now or?
No,
not really.
Not really, not yet.
Come on.
Well, they're not big vocalists.
No.
No, they're unknown.
How do you find your vocalist? Because that's one of the questions that we get a lot as well. Like, how do you find your perfect vocalist for it?
I've seen you doing it, vocalizers.
Yeah.
I've seen you posting that, so I've done that a couple of times.
Yeah.
Yeah, I found one off that. The other person, I just know she's from Ireland. She's found on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my manager, he was looking for a vocalist and sent me this. I said, yeah, she's really good to work.
Okay. That's how, for example, Garrett Emery found Concrete Angel and Bo Bruce. That's interesting that you do that. Yeah, a vocalizer, I started on doing that because Craig was telling me about it.
Yeah, he told me about it as well, yeah.
Because you find some like unique artists that normally you wouldn't find in like
of course, that Iron Trans vocalist. Mm-hmm.
And you say that you're working with an Irish artist, and we touched base on this also in the regular broadcast, that what is going on in Ireland that there's so many artists popping through right now?
No idea, Must be the Guinness.
Must be the Guinness. Well, at least it's not Buckfast like we have to get some rings to the studio. That's horrible.
Probably that as well, yeah.
Of course you have the generation with John and with Brian, but there's a whole new generation coming up as well. You have Maria, Healy, Shugs,
Billy
Gillies. Yeah, like a lot of people are telling me like, hey, you need to invite Billy to the studio because he's doing so amazing stuff.
Yeah, he's amazing. Billy stuff is really amazing at the moment. He's flying. But there's a lot of commentary over. Trance is really big in Ireland. Always was, you know. Even back from the early 2000s. And I think everyone's just doing production now. Everyone you talk to, when you go to gigs, any tips on how to do this, you know.
Really?
Yeah. Every time I go to gigs, you have a conversation with someone that's doing producing or has only started producing. But yeah, everyone loves it. You know? Trance is massive in Ireland.
That's amazing. Are there a lot of gigs happening right now?
No.
Nothing.
Trance is it's massive in Ireland, but the gigs in
that's
Dublin,
so weird, isn't
gigs
it?
Gigs in Dublin are just non-existent. It's crazy. Like
and that's then, the same
then
in the Netherlands.
Then you drive up in Belfast now and it's banging up there. You know, it's the gigs are sold out every gig, and then in Dublin or even anywhere else in Southern Ireland, nothing.
That is so weird, isn't it?
Maybe three gigs a year.
Why is it that in Belfast it's so big? And
I have no idea. It must be a younger generation or something. There's a lot of younger crowd up there. You know,
is that why a lot of people started to play? Here we go. Main stage techno.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I feel that I've saw a couple of sets, including Brian and Snyder, and they are recreating a little bit of the 90s, the early 2000s.
Yeah,
techno. Some the techno kind of stuff.
Yeah. It's kind of, again, it's all rolling into one sound, isn't it? Like,
it is.
Because back then it was no really trance and techno.
No, it was one thing.
Yeah, it went. I think it's come back full circle.
I think it's amazing. Like,
really good, yeah.
I've been watching the socials of Brian a little bit that he created a new version of Urban Shutdown, Urban Shutdown from Mike Push.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've seen the
Soul Effector.
I've seen the video.
Oh my God. Brian, I really want to have that one. Please send it over. No, I think that's an interesting discussion because when you have a bad day, you create techno.
Yeah.
So, interesting. It's interesting. I would love to hear
some. You can't be happy to make techno, can you?
No, that's true. That's true. You can't really go into the studio and have a bass face while you're having a good time as well.
Uh-huh.
All right. Thank you so much. That's all right.
Thank you.
That was all the questions that we had for you. And thank you once again for dropping by the studio. Thank you for a stellar guest mix. And make sure to check out your compilations coming out
the 3rd of December.
3rd of December, Future Sound of Egypt. Thank you so much for watching this podcast. And I'll see you next time for a new one. Bye bye.
To check full episodes of A State of transfer free. Simply visit ArminRadio.com. A State of Trance returns next week.